We've got a picture here of the Alpe d'Huez. This is the final stage of this year's Tour de France, the cycle race. And you can see, if you look down, you can see the switchbacks and corners. And they come right up from the valley down there. We can then see some here. There's 21 of them. And they race up to the top. Now, welcome back to Jonathan and Naomi, because they've been on a charity bike ride in France, and the final stage of this bike ride was up this Alpe d'Huez, and they have conquered this mighty, mighty cycling mountain. And there was hundreds of people in this charity bike ride, and Johnny, in this stage, Johnny finished fifth out of all of the men, and Naomi was the fastest woman up the mountain. So that was a real challenge and a tremendous reward when they got to the top. And you can see that I couldn't lift my bike when I was a boy like that, but you can nowadays, and that's really great, and it's good to have you safe and sound back home. And you know, this idea of a challenge, well, I've had a terrific challenge when Harold asked me to pray about on the subject of the necessity of prayer, and I've found it a challenge because there's people in this room who are better qualified than I am to talk about prayer, and I want you to know that. I don't want you to think that I'm telling you about prayer. I'm asking about prayer this morning. But there's a terrific challenge and there's a terrific reward in prayer. Now, this week has been our week of prayer, and we need to thank Hazel, who's gone out with the sermon support, and Katie and the other people who have led this and organised it for us, and it's been a great week of prayer. And we had a leaflet, and on this leaflet, on the very front of it, there's this statement: prayer does not make us capable of great actions, prayer is the action. On there. What a profound thing to say. I've heard of another statement which is similar, which is, you know, we pray for the work, but prayer is the work. And so prayer is a tremendously important part. But the sentence which I'd like to bring to you is from John Calvin. John Calvin, the great Christian leader and thinker. And he said, prayer is the chief exercise of faith. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. And I'd just like us to look at that, because what it says and what is true is that prayer is the most important thing we as Christians do. It's the center of our Christian lives. It's at the heart of us. Prayer. And it's not an optional extra, and it's not a nice thing to have. It's a necessity. And Harold's asked me to talk about the necessity of prayer, and that's what I'm here to do. This is a serious topic we've got this morning, and we need to take it to prayer ourselves. So, the chief exercise of faith. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. Well, that to me means that we're going to have to be at least have three things in our mind when we approach this subject. And the first one is honesty. Honesty. And we need to come to prayer, come to God with a confession in our hearts. And Roger's read to us, hasn't he, about acknowledging our sin. Acknowledge it to God and before we pray. And Psalm 139 says that God searches us. He searches us. He knows all about it. It says, "You search me, Lord," in the Psalms. And in Samuel, it tells us that people look on the outward appearance, But God looks on the heart. We can't be anything other than honest when we come to God in prayer, because there's a danger that we'll deceive ourselves about it, or we'll even become hypocrites about it. So we need to be honest, honest. There's a reality that we need. Now, prayer is a spiritual exercise. It's a spiritual exercise, and yet we are sinners. We're saved by grace, but we still are affected by sin. So we're bound to struggle with prayer because it's a spiritual thing. And Harold warned us about all the distractions, didn't he, that can come in and spoil our prayers. And prayer requires effort. We need to try hard with our prayers because we're being held back by sin. But where it really becomes a challenge is when we think about love. Because there's no doubt, we don't doubt at all that God loves us, do we? But the question is, do we love God? Because without love, prayer is going to be dry, it's going to be a chore for us, and it's going to be a bit of a drudge, really, if we're not coming in an attitude of love. But with love, it can be a delight, it can be a joy, it can be the most wonderful part of our Christian lives. So, the chief exercise of faith. Now, I've got three statements that I'd like to make about the necessity of prayer. And the first one of these is that God is our Father. God is our Father. Prayer is a necessity because God is our Father. Now, I'd just like us to think about these four words. God is our Father. And if we close our eyes and pray, just think about these words that we take for granted. We say them all the time. It's just something we're used to. And yet, they're the most profound words that we can have. And I pray now, God is my Father. God is my Father. When we come to prayer, in Luke we read that when we pray, we say, Father, Father. And this is the most important thing and something which leads us to prayer. Let's just unpick that. First of all, let's just think about God, because God is the center of prayer. He is a Trinitarian God, three persons in one. He's eternal, and He has lived in eternity past in perfect harmony and perfect love and perfect community. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, talking with each other. That's what God's like. That's what He's like. And He wants to talk with us and include us in it. The second thing is that this is a relationship. He's a God of relationship, and the relationship He's invited us into is a family. In fact, He's adopted us into His family. Ephesians talks about being adopted into His sonship. Wonderful. So the relationship that we have with God, God is our Father, is the Father and child. We're the child, the son, the daughter. He is our Father. He's our Father, and we need to treat Him as such. That's why this is so profound. You know, it would be how hurt you would be if a child didn't go and speak to his father. My dad died when I was a boy, but I remember having conversations with him and going to him, and I'm sure that was pleasing to him. Can you imagine the prodigal son if he'd come back to his father and he hadn't talked to him? It can be very hurtful if we don't talk to our Father. It's a necessity that we talk to Him. But something else, you know, it goes right back to the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam had sinned, God came to walk with him and talk with him in the evening, which is what He did, and God called out, "Where are you? Where are you?" to Adam, because He wanted to have His time in the evening talking with Adam. And Adam wasn't there. He He wasn't there. You know, we often think about man searching after God, but God is searching after us, and he wants us to talk with him, to pray with him. In Revelation, it says that our prayers are like a sweet-smelling savour, a sweet-smelling savour to God. He really wants us to pray to him. That's why it's a necessity. You know, I'm not here to talk about how to pray or when to pray, but it's always a good thing to read your Bible first, because the Bible is the way in which God speaks to us and we can reply to him. So God is there, he's speaking to us through his word, he wants us, he just loves to us to spend time, quality time with him. So it's a necessity for us to pray, because God is our Father. But more than that, a second one, Jesus is our friend. We've just been singing about this. Jesus is our friend. And I'd just like you to think about those words, the tremendous impact of that. Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal God, he's our friend. He's our friend. Of course we need to pray to him. He says, no, we're no longer his servants, we're his freak. I call you friends. Let's unpack that a little bit. Last week, I was really held by Alison and her analogy of a telephone, you know, telephoning to God. And that's very helpful. But let's face it, some of us in the room today will be feeling that they're cut off on the telephone. Cut off, not in contact, but cut off. And they're struggling with their prayer. There might be some in the room who aren't actually sure that they are Christians this morning, and they're on a journey to coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Well, I'd just like you to think about a friend of mine, and he's called Mephibosheth. We read about him in 2 Samuel. And he was the ultimate man that was cut off, because he was in the desert. He was living in the desert in a dry, arid place called Lodabar. And he was a member of the wrong family. He was a grandson of Saul, King Saul. And King Saul had been deposed, and all the family of King Saul were in trouble then, because there was a new king. And he was the wrong family. He was hiding away. He was cut off. He was cut off, just as we can be from God. But he had a friend. He didn't know it, but he had a friend. And this friend was a king. And this friend was King David. And King David wanted to show him loving kindness. He wanted to show him love. It's wonderful. He had a friend, a king, a powerful king, who wanted to show him loving kindness. And David called him out of being cut off in the arid desert, and he called him to Jerusalem, and he brought him not just to Jerusalem, the capital city, but into the palace. And more than that, he adopted him as his own son and treated him like a prince, and he was a member of the royal family, no longer in the wrong family. He was in the right family now, and that's a wonderful picture. He was cut off, and connection was made. And you know, it's exactly the same for us this morning. Because each one of us, we have got a friend. And our friend is a king. And our friend is King Jesus. And King Jesus loves each one of us. He loves us so much that he died for us. And he wants to adopt us into his family. He wants us to be a friend and a brother in his family. So there's no reason why we should be cut off on our telephone to God, because we've got a friend in Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus, Mark's reminded us, he never stopped praying when he was here on earth, because he was always praying to the Father. And yet you would think, well, he'd know what to do, but he took time out to pray to his Father. In fact, in eternity past, he was in communion with his Father, wasn't he? In the Trinity. And then he was always talking, when he was here on earth, he was talking to God in prayer. And now he's in heaven and he's interceding for us in prayer. And in the future, when we're in heaven with him, he'll be communing with God in prayer and we'll be joining in. And really, the necessity comes from the fact that we need to join in now. Jesus connects us with God. In this telephone analogy, he'd be the operator. He takes our prayers and he puts them through to God the Father. And he connects us. Now, here's a sign that I'm getting old. Because every time I walk down the street, there's some young person going along on a mobile phone. Or they're tapping out on their mobile phones. And they're in contact with their friends and with their family. And that's exactly how we should be. We should be constantly in contact with our friend, the Lord Jesus, the head of our family, our Father. That's how prayer should be. So that's two things, isn't it? Prayer's a necessity because God is our Father. Prayer's a necessity because Jesus is our friend. And thirdly, prayer is a necessity because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now just think about that. The Holy Spirit lives in us. When we became Christians, he indwelt us. Out of thought, just quietly think through that. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Let's unpack that. The temple was in Jerusalem, and the temple was where God lived by his glorious Spirit. He was in the Holy of Holies in the temple at Jerusalem. And that was a place where there was worship and praise and glory and prayer because God was in the temple. Well, this, what was said, the Holy Spirit lives us, means that our bodies are like a temple. The Bible says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we can bring worship, we can bring glory, we can bring praise, and we can bring prayer. That's why it's so important for us to be with God in prayer. And the other thing about the temple is that the Holy of Holies, where God was protected by a veil. So no one could go in, just the head priest could go in once a year, and he had to have his sins forgiven before he could do that. But when the Lord Jesus, in his love for us, died on Calvary's cross, the veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. No man could do that. This was from the top to the bottom. And access was given to the Holy of Holies. And we have that access because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And we have this wonderful privilege of being able to pray to God. Now we're all priests. We can all pray to God. And we need to do that. We really need to do that. Another reason why it's a necessity is because prayer changes things. And one of my favourite chapters in the Bible is Acts 12. When you get home, read Acts 12. It's a wonderful chapter on prayer. At the beginning of Acts 12, James, who was one of the disciples, he was the brother of John, he was dead. He'd been killed by Herod, the wicked king. Peter was in prison and Herod was trying to kill him as well. And this wicked, evil Herod was triumphant. That's the beginning of Acts 12. In the middle of Acts 12, we read this. The church was earnestly praying to God. The church was earnestly praying to God. And at the end of Acts 12, we find that Herod is dead. Peter is free, and God's word is triumphant. Not Herod, God's word is triumphant. You see, prayer changes things, and it's a wonderful picture of how God can work if we'll only pray to him. And that's corporate prayer. There, the church was praying. And, you know, we as a church need to pray together. We can achieve great things by coming together and praying together. The other thing is, of course, the Holy Spirit is in us. Prayer is a spiritual exercise, and we struggle in our Christian lives against the spiritual forces of evil, don't we? Satan is active. When we pray, we struggle against evil because Satan is trying to stop us spending time with God. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to pray to God, to be in connection with God, and the Holy Spirit energizes our prayers. So what can we say? This is a terrific challenge to us to pray. In Mark we read, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." My house, this is the Lord speaking, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Well, can I suggest to you that as Christians, as members of God's universal church, that our personal prayers, in our personal prayers, we make our homes a house of prayer. Because we're Christians, because we belong to God, because we're going to heaven, make our homes a house of prayer. But as members of Argyle Community Church, in our corporate prayer together, let's make our church a house of prayer. Let's make Argyle a house of prayer. It is a house of prayer, but we can build on this. Our homes, there's prayer going on. We can pray more than we do. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. But we need to be honest, we need to make effort, we need to make it in love if we're going to meet the challenge. But the reward is wonderful. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's what God says. What it says in Isaiah is, I will bring joy in my house of prayer. I will bring joy. The reward for us is joy. The rewards are great. We bring joy. We bring joy to God because he wants us to spend time speaking to him. And we bring joy to ourselves because we are connected with God. Prayer is a necessity. Let's pray. Our God and Father, just help us to take it in. Help us to realize that prayer is the chief exercise of faith. There's nothing more important we can do than to pray to you. And we pray to you this morning in Jesus' name and by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So we put up the number for any questions. Actually, we don't have any on the phone, but I wonder if anybody has a question at all that they'd like to pose. Perhaps I can put one to you, Trevor.
Yes, please do.
I know that you are a man of prayer, as much as despite your introduction. But I think it's always helpful to hear. What is it? What do you find helpful in just trying to pray? What is it that helps you in that challenge?
Well, I think that as I said, read the Bible, concentrate on God, concentrate on the Father. Try to be his child and concentrate on him. And prayer is with God at the center. God is at the center, not me. Not me. Now, we're in a culture which is me, me, me. What's best in for me? I'm the customer. I get it right. You know, it's all about me. And prayer isn't about me. It's about God. And it's about having him at the center of ours. One thing that I found helpful was something someone told me, that it's not us trying to align God with us in our prayers, with our shopping lists and whatever that we go to him with. It's not trying to align him with us, but us trying to align with God. God is the center of prayer. If we pray to him, we But of course, the other thing is, and this is where I challenge myself, it's all where your heart is and whether you love him. If you love him, you can pray to him. And he's loved us, and we just got to get that love factor into this. Otherwise, it becomes a routine and the things that we don't want it to be. We want it to be constant and spontaneous.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions you've thought of in the meantime?
I think it's such an enormous subject that it's very difficult to think of questions about it. I've just scratched the surface, as you now appreciate this morning. But if we think about God our Father, Jesus our friend, the Holy Spirit living in us, then we can make progress in all of our prayer lives.
Okay, well, thank you for that.